How many's ready to hear from heaven this morning? Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Mark chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Then he asked the most important question. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Note verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." All important here. "For flesh and blood did not reveal what you just said, did not reveal it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," read the last part of the verse with me in unison, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to preach this morning on voices in the church. Voices in the church. You can be seated this morning. Some time ago, I was visiting a sister in the hospital, and I walked in and I said, "How are you doing?" And as soon as I asked that, she began to tear up and said, "Not very good, Pastor, not very good." She said, "Everyone that comes in here, it doesn't matter if it's a nurse or a doctor or whoever, everyone that comes in here has a bad report." And I didn't want to minimize her situation. It was serious, but uncharacteristic of me, I simply said, "Sister, you've been listening to the wrong report. Because there's another report. And that report says, we win. We overcome. We're triumphant." Hallelujah. Amen. What I was trying to get across is whose report you listen to, whose voice you listen to. It does matter. I said, it does matter. You see, whether as a church or an individual, there's a multiplicity of reports that we can listen to. And many of them are only going to drain our spirit. They're going to dishearten us. They're going to defeat us. They're going to disillusion us. They're going to discourage us. In our age, there are different voices saying different things about the church and in the church. But in spite of all of that, I'm here to preach that there's another report to listen to, and that's God's report. And he says things like this, straight from Jesus' mouth, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Oh, that's a voice to listen to this morning. I think it's a very interesting thing about what I just quoted, because in its parts, we're not sure what that verse says. If you could put the verse back up, brother. Amen. In its parts, we're not sure what that verse says. Amen. Yet we know that when we hear it, that verse is really saying something to us. How many can tell it's saying something to us? How many feel stirred by that verse? And yet we're not sure just exactly what Jesus is saying. We pick up the major things he's saying. Jesus is saying, whether as a church or as an individual, we need to realize that the church is a great thing, and it's a great thing to belong to the church. How many picks that up? I said the church is a great thing, and it's a great thing to belong to the church. There's something else that we pick up on in this verse. It reaffirms that we're in a battle, that there's a conflict. There's a battle for survival going on, and it involves the church. And if you're in the church, it involves you. There's a conflict. But there's another thing that we pick up on. Even we pick up on that victory is inevitable. We will overcome. We will triumph. Whatever the conflict, whatever the attack, amen, victory is inevitable for the church of the living God. Now listen, you've got to understand something. Jesus made this great statement. when he was together in a meeting with his disciples, he makes that statement. In a sense, they were having church. Amen. In that gathering, it's there that we learn that even while having church, there's going to be different voices vying for our attention. We see it that day. We can see it today. You're having church, but even in that meeting, there's different voices vying for your attention. Amen. The problem is some of those voices are the wrong ones to listen to. And then there's the voice that we do need to listen to. How many know what people say is affected by whom they've been listening to? I said, what people say, we're going to see that in the story. What people say is affected by whom they've been listening to. Amen. So I would like to say this morning, listening to the right voice will totally affect the way that we think, how we feel, and what we do. But may we leave here this morning listening to this voice and this report: upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So what voices are there in the church? First of all, there is the voice from heaven. The disciples had come with Jesus to Caesarea Philippi. This is so important. Jesus asked them, when you're out amongst the crowd, whom are they saying that I am? And they gave various answers, from Jeremiah to this one, that one, John the Baptist. And then Jesus personalized it for those there in the meeting. And he says, but whom do you say that I am? And in verse 16, Simon Peter, always the impetuous one, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? Jesus wanted it to be clear that day and today where where Peter's declaration came from. What was its source? And so in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed what you just said unto you, but my Father revealed it to you. Where did that come from? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That came straight from heaven. That came straight from listening to the Father. You see, Jesus wanted it clear that Peter didn't sit there and scratch his head and say, whom are you, Lord? Let me see. He didn't sit there and contemplate. He didn't put two and two together and suddenly come to that conclusion on his own. He didn't stumble onto that. He didn't simply just discover it. No, when Jesus asked that question, suddenly Peter's heart and Peter's mind swelled with the realization that this Jesus, this carpenter, he's more than a carpenter. He's Messiah. He's Son of God. He's Savior. He's Deliverer. That came straight from God. It was suddenly, powerfully, and brilliantly full in Peter's heart and mind. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus wanted it clear that Peter spoke that because he had been listening to the Father. Peter listened, Peter accepted it, and Peter declared it. Please hear me all over this place this morning. If you would but hear it. I said, if you would but hear it. Whatever your name is, whatever circumstances and predicaments you find yourself in, wherever you're at right here this morning in life, I believe the Father is saying something to you. I said, he was saying it in the worship. He was saying it in the singing. And he's saying it in the preaching. Why? Because heaven does speak. I said, heaven does speak. The Father does speak. I said, there's one voice you can listen to this morning. It's the voice that Peter heard, the voice of the Father. Hallelujah. I want to listen to his voice. And then when Peter repeated it, via Peter, the other disciples heard the voice from heaven. Secondly, this morning, That day there was the voice of Jesus among them. Oh, if we had time to talk about the wonders of incarnation. God amongst them in the flesh and likeness of Jesus Christ. He's among them. And that's when we have that scripture that we're focusing on this morning, targeting. We're going to take a look at it like we never had this morning. But the voice of Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I told you earlier when we read this, and I'm sure it was true that day, when Jesus made that statement, it fills hearts with inspiration. This statement gives us hope. This statement lets us know there's a bright outlook for the future. And yet there are many parts of that we don't really know what it means. Oh, we get the gist of it, but it's the details that we're not sure about. First of all, what is the rock upon which the church is built? Is it Peter? His very name given to him by Jesus is Petros, rock. Is it Jesus? We know that he's the ultimate rock. He is Petra. He is the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. Is it Peter? Is it Jesus? Is it the profession that Peter made? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's going to help us understand what this is about the rock is this awareness. There were two declarations that day, and there were two rocks being spoken of. Go back to verse 16. Simon Peter said, I want you to see this in juxtaposition. Simon Peter makes a declaration. He points at Jesus and says, Thou art the Christ. Amen. Verse 18, when Peter pointed at Jesus and said, Thou art the Christ, Jesus turned and pointed to Peter and said, Thou art Petros. Thou art a rock. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the rock. So what is this rock? Who is this rock? Well, there's two rocks mentioned. Are they one and the same? The Roman Catholics would tell us there's but one rock referenced, and it's Peter. Peter's something special. Peter is the rock upon which the church will be built. Peter's going to be the first pope. Peter's going to be the vicar of Christ. Peter's going to be the first to succeed Christ as the head of the church. That's what the Roman Catholics say. Most Protestants say, no. Jesus is speaking of two different rocks. They have support for this. Peter is Petros, and Jesus in our text is Petra. And so the Protestants say that there are two different rocks spoken here. In essence, what Jesus is saying is this: Peter, you're a little Petros. You're a little rock. And Peter, I'm Petra. I'm a massive rock. And not you, Peter, the little rock, but me, Petra, the big rock. That's the rock the church is going to be built upon. If you consider that, that's being derogatory of Peter. It's being demeaning of Peter, especially when Peter has just said something so correct, so right, and so true. But what if, church, Jesus isn't speaking of one rock or the other? What if he's speaking of both rocks, the Petra and the Petros? What if it's not this Jesus is saying? You've just declared me the Son of God. That declaration of who I am, that is the massive rock. That is the Petra. That is me. That is I. That's the rock upon which this church is going to be built. But what he's also saying, Brother Brian, but thou art Petros. Thou art a rock too. I may be the foundation stone, but Peter, I'm going to take folks like you, and I'm going to make them a building block. I'm going to put them on the foundation.
foundation. The emphasis is upon I will build my church. When you build something, Brother Aaron, you don't just lay a foundation and quit. When Jesus said upon this rock, I'll build my church, he's a foundation. But what does he build his church with? He builds his church with Peter's and Andrew's and John's and Nathaniel's and Brother Heath and Brother Steve and Brother Mark's. Oh, listen, this is something. Why? Because Peter the impetuous, he's the one that's always saying things wrong. He's the one that don't get things right. He's the one that's about to deny that he even knows Jesus. Peter's just a common fisherman. He's been a chiefest of sinners. And Jesus says, yet Peter, no matter of who you have been, no matter of your current mistakes, even no matter that I know you're about to deny me, Peter, I take people like you and I put them on that foundation rock. I put the Petros on the Petrol and I build my church. Listen, he's doing it. I don't care what your past is. I don't even care what your current struggle is or what your future struggle is. If you'll come to Jesus confessing he's the Son of God, putting your trust in him, he takes that old rock that he mined out of the dirt, that old rock that he dug out of the pit, that old rock that was refused and rejected of others, he takes that rock and he builds the church. Oh, hallelujah! Are you going to listen to Jesus' voice this morning? You see, if Peter's a part of that building, if the church is indestructible, then Peter's indestructible. If the church is not going to be prevailed upon by hell, neither is Peter, because he's a part of it. Oh, come on, church. What am I preached all this to say this. If the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church and you're a building block on that foundation, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against you either, nor your family. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Victory. Glory to God. Listen to that voice. Secondly, what is the church? Oh, I know we know. The word church literally comes from ecclesia. If I wanted to bore you, I'd say ek is the preposition that means out of. And ecclesia means called. And so the ecclesia is the called out ones. It referred to a gathering of citizens called out for a meeting. Can I tell you that is an adequate and apt description of who we are, not just in Jesus' day. Right now, here in this gathering, we're having a meeting. Why? Because we're the called out ones. Glory to God. Could I tell you that's what the church is? It's the called out ones. He called us out of sin. He called us out of darkness. He called us out of the world. He called us out of hopelessness. He called us out of helplessness. He called us out of defeat. Glory to God, we're the called out ones. But he called us out to have a meeting. We're having a meeting this morning. Unless you're not sure, this is the meeting of the blood washed. This is the meeting of the blood bought. This is the meeting of the rescued. The meeting of the delivered. Oh, hallelujah. The meeting of those whose hearts and minds and souls. I said we've been called out for a meeting. Glory to God. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're foreigners, but we come together as the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go back to the verse and catch my breath a minute. There's something we can make the whole message about. But he didn't say, upon this rock, I will build the church. Or I'll build a church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Listen to me, all over this building. Let me tell you why Satan hates the church so much. Because it's his church. Amen. Right? I want to tell you something. You know why Satan hates this church so much? You know why Satan battles this church, attacks this church? Because this isn't Hearst church. This isn't even Shanks or Vaughn's church. This isn't your church. This is his church. This isn't my work. This is his work. And because of that, Satan hates it. That explains why the gates of hell are coming against it. It's Jesus. He bought it. He purchased it. Even what are the gates of hell? How many's ready to put your seatbelt on? And let's take a little tour of what the gates of hell are. It may not be what we've assumed. Oh, I know. If we could go leave it there to that verse. I know we get the part about shall not prevail. I'm glad we get that. That's exciting. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. But what is the gates or are the gates of hell? Well, some see this picture. They see Satan with all of hell coming against the church, attacking the church. But even though hell musters all its armies to come against the church, it cannot defeat the church. It cannot prevail. Now, that's a great thought. And in essence, yes, Satan comes against the church. And no, the church will not be defeated. But that's not what the gates of hell are all about. Why? Because that makes the gates of hell on the offensive. It makes the gates of hell coming against the church. Gates are defensive, not offensive. Gates are made to keep the enemy out. And if you say this is Satan attacking the church, you have the gates breaking loose from whatever wall they're on and coming against the church. That doesn't happen. How many's ever walked out of the gate of your yard and heard a noise behind you and turned around and looked and the gate was following you? You probably wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be in another institution. But anyway, gates don't come against you. And so for all the truth elsewhere, Satan comes against us and Satan will not prevail. This isn't about Satan attacking the church. Others say, no. What it is, it's a picture of the church on the offense. It's Satan behind the wall. It's his territory behind the gates. And the church is on the offense. The church is on the move. The church is attacking Satan's territory. Amen. The church is going out into his turf and attacking him where he is. Now, there's some truth in that, too. I'll tell you what, Sister Ruth, that's what Sidewalk Sunday School was yesterday. Amen. It was the church going down on Satan's turf and doing battle with Satan. And so there's a lot of truth in that the church is on the offense. And yet, when we look at this, this really isn't what Jesus is saying. How many knows the number one way to understand Scripture is to look at the context? It's not what we want it to say. It's what Jesus was saying in context. And we're going to look at that this morning. And I think we're going to leave here more blessed for having done so. What are the gates of hell? I'm not trying to bore you. I'm not trying to play the Greek card. I'm just going to preach the truth. It helps us to understand when it says gates of hell. Jesus uses a different word for hell than he normally does. How many knows, for those who want to try to get rid of the ideal of hell, how many knows Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven? And usually he used the word Gehenna, the place of burning, the place of burning. Even almost every time when Jesus referenced hell, it was Gehenna, the place of burning. But when Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he did not use Gehenna. He used Hades, and Hades is the place of death. Now, you walk through Hades and you're not a believer in Christ, and you walk through the door of Hades, you're going to end up in Gehenna. But Hades is death. It's the place of the dead. It is in Scripture. Now, let's take this in context. Let's take this with what Jesus followed up with. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Here it is. We got to get this, church. Verse 20. then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, Jesus began to show in his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Here it is. He's going to Jerusalem to be killed and to be raised again the third day. There it is. That's what the gates of hell are. What are you talking about? Well, gates are not always to keep something out. Gates are also made to keep something in. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And then he told us what he meant. I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to take me. They're going to hang me on the cross. They're going to run a spear at my side. They're going to kill me. They're going to take me down and wrap me up in that grave clothes. They're going to lay me on a shelf in a cave. They're going to roll the rock across the door and put a guard on it. And every demon in hell will ascend to keep me in that grave. But he said, I want to tell you something. You just said that I am the Christ, and I am. But when the gates of death, when the gates of hell close behind me and everybody says, that's it for Jesus. He's done with. He's over with. That's the end of the story. He said, I want you to know something. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell can't keep me in. I'm going to come bursting forth. I'll break those gates wide open, victorious over death, hell, grave, sin, darkness, wickedness. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, gates don't only try to keep out, they try to keep in. They couldn't keep him in. So let's go back to this. If we're the little rock on the big rock, the gates of hell can't keep us in either. And let me go ahead before I go back. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, the gates of hell are going to slam shut. The gates of death are going to slam shut on every one of us. But just like the gates of hell could not prevail and hold him in, the trumpet's going to sound. And for we too. How many's got some loved ones that's already went to the other side? They closed the casket, not trying to be crude. They put them in a grave, put dirt over it. I'm telling you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. They're going to come open. What are you preaching? I'm preaching. That's a voice to listen to. Amen. Satan's tried to hem you in. Satan's come against you and confined you. He's strangling you with problems. He's built a fence around you. He's bolted the gate and said, you're stuck here. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay in defeat. You're going to stay in discouragement. You're going to stay in this place of prison. But I want you to know something this morning. There's a voice to listen to. Put your trust in God. Oh, I said, put your trust in God. If he came out of the grave, there's no wall, no gate that Satan can form around you that you can't come out of in the power of Jesus Christ. I said, the gates are about to burst open. Hallelujah. You've been hemmed in too long. You've been chained up too long. Amen. The perimeters have closed in around you too long. The gates of hell are about to spring open on you. Oh, what a different picture. I've got to move on. What a different picture. But it's not the picture of the church breaking in. It's a picture of the church breaking out. Okay, can I just preach one more thing before I move on? Thank you very much. I said individuals, but too long, Union Road has been confined. This thing, that thing, this problem, that problem, this attack, that attack. And Satan's just been building a wall and bolting the gates and say, you're stuck right here. Nothing's going to happen. You'll do nothing. You'll never really reach Drexel. You'll never reach New Folks. Amen. I want to tell you something. We're not talking about the church breaking in. We're talking about the church breaking out. I tell you, it's about time. the church break out of the limitations. I said, of the limitations that Satan has put around her. Jesus said, the limitations mean nothing because I am the Son of God. And if the gates of hell cannot hold me, the gates of hell cannot hold my church, cannot hold my people. Let's march forth. The gates will open like an automatic door. Hallelujah. Well, don't you worship him this morning? One more voice. The voice of the gates of hell. This is so important. If Jesus was just talking about death, he would have just said hell. But there's a picture to be had by him using the expression gates of hell. I call your attention to the Old Testament for lack of time. I'll mention the name and not the story. But Boaz, when he wanted to get things right to marry Ruth, where did he go? Went to the gates of the city where the elders were meeting. All through the Old Testament, revealing the custom of the time, the gathering at the gates referred to sitting in the gates of the city, meeting in the gates of the city, counseling in the gates of the city, judging in the gates of the city. I looked these up, doing business in the gates of the city. See, not a courtroom in a square. But the gates of the city is where the city elders met and the authorities met. Lot recently, we had on Wednesday night, he was in the gates of the city as a prominent businessman. It's there in the gates of the city they put their heads together. Please hear me. They made their plans. They passed out their judgments and gave their counsel. They strategized. Could I tell you what Jesus was referring to? Amen. And this is also in context, and even the context of what we've been preaching in John. But right then in Jesus' time, the authorities had put their heads together to destroy Jesus. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers had put their heads together and plotted to kill Jesus and to stop his message and destroy the church that he was beginning. They put their heads together and strategized. Could I tell you that all the authorities of Satan in hell put their heads together at the gates of hell and strategized not just against Jesus, but strategized against his church and took counsel against his church. That didn't just happen in Jesus. Now, please hear me. I'm not preaching myth or legend. I want you to know that that still happened, Sister Arvi. Satan and his cohorts and his imps are constantly putting their heads together saying, how can we destroy that church? How can we come against that church and ruin it? Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He talks about the wiles of Satan. That's the strategies, the tactics, the plans of Satan. They have gathered in the gates of hell and put their heads together saying, how can we destroy this church? But I'm telling you, however much they scheme, however much they strategize, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. Their plans won't work out. Their strategies are going to fall apart. Their schemes are going to unravel because it's my church. Let them talk. Let them give counsel. But my church is going to be victorious. Don't think for one moment that the gates of hell have not gathered and put their heads together and strategized to destroy this church, Union Road. And the only way their strategies will be successful is if we listen to the voice of the gates of hell. Otherwise, whatever they strategize is going to fall apart. This is also true, and usually the way it works, not only does Satan strategize the demise of the church, he strategized the demise of each one who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really are a believer,
Satan and his imps have strategized how they can trip you up, destroy you, your home. And it is that they have discussed in the gates of the city. I'm just about done. It's that they've discussed in the gates of the city that they speak into hearts and they speak into minds. You said that will never happen to me. It happened to Peter. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I said there's voices in the church. First, Peter heard the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father. He heard the voice of Jesus. And then Peter heard the voice of the gates of hell. And sadly, just as he had previously listened to the voice from heaven, this time he listens to the voice of the gates of hell. Here it is. Jesus had just said that he's going to Jerusalem to die. Peter didn't like to hear that. That means no kingdom, no throne, that kind of thing. Verse 22, context is everything. Then Peter took Jesus and began to protest, rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I do not want to belabor this. But when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," Jesus wanted it to be clear that did not originate just out of Peter's own mind. Peter repeated it, but Jesus said, "Be clear about this. That came from heaven. That came to Father, from the Father." Then when Jesus begins to say, "Don't go to Jerusalem, don't die on the cross," Jesus also wanted it to be clear where that came from. And he said, that voice is Satan's voice. What you're repeating came from the gates of hell. It came from Satan's voice. Very serious thing. Same man, Peter, he listens to one. Nothing has changed. Amen. Today in this service, there's going to be two different voices to which we can listen. The Father's or Satan, the gates of heaven or the gates of hell. But the gates of hell can only and ever be victorious if we listen to them. If we listen to the gates of heaven, if we listen to the voice. You know, one of the most profound things ever asked was in the garden when God said, "Who told you you were naked?" to Adam. Remember that? One of the biggest questions to ask yourself when you start having thoughts about the church, the people of God, about Christ, one of the first questions you should ask is, where did that come from? Who said that? Is that the gates of heaven talking? I wish somebody would listen to me right now because I feel the eternal thing happening here. Was that the gates of heaven? Or was that the gates of hell saying that? Amen. A simple way to ask that is, would the Father say something like that? Would that be the feeling of the Father? Or would the enemy say something like that? Amen. So important. Amen. What you listen to will affect this church. Amen. You hear a voice that says, the church is dead. Well, don't you listen to another voice that says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. You hear a voice saying, well, that church is out of date, stuck in the mud, not up with the times. Well, don't you listen to a voice that says, that's the true gospel that's being preached. Jesus is being exalted and uplifted. You hear a voice that says, well, no, church isn't all that important. It's a take it or leave it thing. I can serve Christ on my own. Well, don't you listen to another voice that says, I bought that church with my blood. And church is the best thing that ever happened to you as an individual. It's the best thing for your marriage. It's the best thing for your family. It's the best thing for society. It's the best thing to get it to heaven in. Amen. Not just the church. What you listen to will affect you. There's a voice from the gates of hell. It'll tell a young person, you can never make it. But there's a voice that says, no, you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Well, look what you're up against. Do you think you can handle that? But there's another voice that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a voice that
that says it's not worth it, that's serving God and fighting the devil. There's another voice that says, but the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. There is a voice that says this morning, you are worthless. You don't count for anything. But there's another voice that says, my thoughts towards you are more than can be numbered. And when I was on the cross, you were on my mind. Amen. There's a voice that says, you don't need anyone. And there's another voice that says, love one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults one to another. Exhort one another. Hallelujah. There's a voice that says, you don't fit in. There's another voice that says, I'm the one that takes you, and I have fitted you. I have placed you in my body to be a part of my body. Whose voice you're going to listen to? Voices speaking in the church. Music come. Hear me as I conclude. As important as it is not to listen to the gates of hell, please hear me. It's even more important never to join the discussion in the gates of hell. When people are critical of the work of God, the people of God, the church of God, we know the source. So why would we repeat what is being said? Because when I come against the church of the living God, I have found myself a seat amongst those in the gates of hell. Did you hear what I said? When I come against the church of God, I have found myself a seat in the gates of hell. I could not help but think of Psalm 1. Many of you could quote it with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, amen, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You start listening because you walk with them. And then you're standing there, really getting an earful. And then you join them in a seat of the scornful. Well, I've pastored for 27 years. I just had the thought, someone said, well, he's gunning for somebody, or it's because we're having a meeting or whatever. I hate to confess this, but I'll re-preach this at another church. But I've pastored for 27 years, and I've seen some gates of hell meetings on the parking lots or between the pews or at Frisch's. I don't want to join the gates of hell that tries to tear down the work of God, keep people out of the kingdom. I want to listen to the voice of heaven. And notice what the voice of heaven does. It talks about Jesus. It talks about Christ. It talks about the Son of the living God. Would you stand across the building? But I want to be fair. How many still with me? Just stay with me a few more seconds. How many be fair? Not only have I heard people that's been listening to the gates of hell, I've heard people that's been listening to the gates of heaven. I've heard people at the right moment stand up and share with the church the very word the church needs at that moment, that says we can do this. Let's go on. God's about to move. That's somebody's been listening to the Father. You're just trying to be critical. No, I'm giving warning. Peter, one moment he hears the gates of heaven, the next he hears the gates of hell. And he repeated both. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know about you, I want to train my ear to the gates of heaven. And I want to repeat what I hear there. Oh, let's go ahead and worship. I had a conclusion, but I'm not going to give it. Let's just worship. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just end right here. I said, we've thought about it all wrong. We thought about the gates of our trying to break in, but the gates is of our breaking out. How many just knows there's some things you need to break out of this morning? some things that have confined you, some things that are putting a stranglehold on your spiritual walk. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How many's ready to break out as a church of the living God? I'm telling you, Satan can't hold the church. It's going to march on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm going to listen to that voice. Hallelujah. There's some things you'd like to break out of. Wouldn't you just begin to come and fill these altars this morning? Would you do it? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, believe it. Listen to the voice of heaven as you come. Amen. The voice of hell say you can't get anything this morning. That's a lie. That's a lie. Amen. You can receive. You can get help. You can have victory. You can overcome because he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, listen to his voice.
Oh, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood.
The church.
And we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage
break
must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of his Son. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed.
Whose voice?
We are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood. We are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of his Son. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed.
Oh, break out, break out.
They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for joy, they shall cry aloud and be free. Shall glorify the name of the Lord. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Oh, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Well, our deliverance has come through the power of his Son. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed.
Now at the cross,
oh, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood.
Listen to that.
And we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be freed. Deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Oh, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought.